Oh, that mine eyes with joy may see thee, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end. Amen. Here in this blessed season of Lent, as we prepare our hearts and minds for the passion of our Lord, served for me and for you, our gospel text this morning speaks to us about holy baptism, more especially how one is to be saved, and what joy and celebration we share with young Levi as he's been blessedly washed and renewed by the Holy Spirit. And there's just so much more about this holy sacrament of holy baptism our Lord would have us know. As Jesus was answering Nicodemus' questions in our gospel reading, he began with the Holy Spirit's activity of establishing faith in us. We call this process conversion. The Holy Spirit converts people from spiritual death to spiritual life. Jesus said this process of conversion is a spiritual birth. After Nicodemus had acknowledged the divinity of our Lord Jesus, him being a teacher come from God, Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And later, after Nicodemus asked for more explanation, Jesus started over and even added more details. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So the spiritual birth of conversion is then like that of a physical birth. And with this rebirth, we then receive two kinds of righteousness. In keeping with our celebration of conversion and holy baptism, in celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I'm going to share with you something of an excerpt from a sermon from the good Dr. Martin Luther. And he preached this shortly after his Reformation breakthrough in the year 1519. And it's just as pertinent for us today as it was to those who heard these words then. There are two kinds of Christian righteousness. Just as a man's sin is of two kinds. The first is alien righteousness, that is, the righteousness of another instilled from without. This is the righteousness of Christ, by which he justifies through faith, as it is written in 1 Corinthians, "Whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." In John chapter 11, Christ himself states, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die." And later he adds in John chapter 14, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life." This righteousness then is given to men in baptism, just as it was to young Master Levi this morning. And whenever they are truly repentant, therefore a man can with confidence boast in Christ and say, "Mine are Christ's, living, doing, and speaking, his suffering and dying, mine as much as if I had lived, done, spoken, suffered, and died as he did." Just as a bridegroom possesses all that is his bride's, and she all that is his, for the two have all things in common because they are one flesh. Christ and the church are one spirit. Thus the beloved God and Father of mercies has, according to St. Peter, granted to us very great and precious gifts in Christ. The Apostle Paul again writes in 2 Corinthians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." This inexpressible grace and blessing was long ago promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. "And in thy seed," that is in Christ, "shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." In Isaiah chapter 9 it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." To us, it says, because he is entirely ours with all his benefits if we believe in him. And as we read in Romans chapter 8, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him?" Therefore, everything which Christ has is ours, graciously bestowed on us unworthy men out of God's sheer mercy, although we have rather deserved wrath and condemnation and hell also. Even Christ himself, therefore, who says he came to do the most sacred will of his Father, became obedient to him, and whatever he did it for us, and desired it to be ours, saying, "I am among you as one who serves." And he also states, "This is my body, which is given for you." In Isaiah 43, it says, "You have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities." Through faith in Christ, therefore, Christ's righteousness becomes our righteousness. And all that he has becomes ours. Rather, he himself becomes ours. Therefore, the apostle calls it the righteousness of God. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, as it is written, "The righteous shall live by faith." Now, the second kind of righteousness is our proper righteousness. Not because we alone work it, but because we work with the first and alien righteousness. This is that matter of life spent profitably in good works. In the first place, in slaying the flesh and crucifying the desires with respect to the self, of which we read in Galatians chapter 5. "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And in the second place, this righteousness consists in love to one's neighbor. And in the third place, in meekness and in fear toward God. The Apostle Paul is full of references to these, as is all the rest of Holy Scripture. He briefly summarizes this, however, in 2 Timothy or Titus chapter 2. "In this world, let us live soberly, justly, and devoutly." Succinct and to the point. Let me draw this out just a little bit for you, because "in this world, let us live soberly," which is pertaining to the crucifying of one's flesh, our own flesh. "And in this world, we're to live justly." It too is referring to our neighbor. "And we're to live in this world devoutly, as we are to be relating to God." This righteousness is the product of the righteousness of the first type. Actually, it's fruit and consequences. As we've read in Galatians chapter 5, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, that is, of a spiritual man whose very existence depends on faith in Christ, that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For because the works mentioned are works of men, it's obvious that in this passage a spiritual man is called spirit. And in our gospel this morning from John chapter 3, we read, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. This righteousness goes on to complete the first, for it ever strives to do away with the old Adam and to destroy the body of sin. Therefore, it hates itself and loves the neighbor. It does not seek its own good, but that of another. And in this, its whole way of living consists. For in that it hates itself and does not seek its own, it crucifies the flesh, because it seeks the good of another. It works love. Thus, in each sphere, it does God's will, living soberly with oneself, serving justly with the neighbor, and living devoutly toward God. This righteousness, then, follows the example of Christ in this respect, as St. Peter writes, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. And you are transformed into his likeness. As again St. Paul says, we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And it is precisely this that Christ requires. Just as he himself did all things for us, not seeking his own good but ours only. And in this he was most obedient to God the Father. So he desires that we should also set the same example for our neighbors. Amen. I pray our Lord's grace, mercy, and peace engulf each of you now in this season of Lent and forevermore. And may the peace which surpasses all human understanding